Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. It was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The fire of God has fallen down from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man. And they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "From whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Now put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." The Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear Lord, as we take a look at a very sobering and yet, dear God, what a helpful truth we're going to look at. And Lord, I know that you want to help us this morning. And I pray, dear God, that that person that is hurting, or perhaps they are very close to someone who is hurting, that maybe we will know better how to minister. And Lord, as we have to face the hardships of life, that we'll be able to understand better, Lord, what you're trying to accomplish in our lives and through our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach a message entitled, How to Stop the Hurt from Hurting. How to Stop the Hurt from Hurting. There's not a parent in here that hasn't had to deal with a child that's hurt themselves at some point or another. When children hurt themselves, especially real young children, you know what? They tend to have a very childlike reaction to it, which means you're going to hear screaming and hollering. I look at the parents because all the parents know their kids. I hear a kid scream, and because I'm into the grandpa phase of life, I think always that the worst has happened, you know. You get old and nervous when you're old, okay? But if I hear a kid scream, I'll look at the parent. If the parent doesn't seem to be bothered by it, then I've learned not to be bothered by it. Because mom knows the different kinds of screams. They know what the scream I'm having fun is, the scream of joy, the scream this kid's chasing me, or the scream of I've hurt myself. But that's how children tend to react when they get hurt. They scream, they holler, they cry. And a lot of times they do so far beyond what is justified by the hurt itself. In dealing with children, our children, sometimes I had to say to them, okay, look at me. I mean, I let them cry a little bit. You know, I had girls. You got to let them cry a little bit, amen. And I let them cry a little bit, but after a while, if they just kept going on, after a while, it wasn't crying about the pain. It wasn't crying about the hurt. It was crying, feeling sorry for themselves. And so I would let them cry for a while, then I'd always say, okay, stop. Look at me. Look, that's enough. Now you're overdoing it. You're crying too much. You're not going to die. Take a deep breath. You're going to be fine. And we've all been there where we've had to take somebody who has become hysteric about something that's not life or death. Trust me, it'll scab over. It'll heal. And you'll have a really cool boo-boo to show everybody for a couple weeks, and then it'll be history and forgotten. However, let me just say this, folks. The boo-boos of life don't stop when you're a kid. And there are real and genuine hurts in life. And I want to teach you something that I hope will help you. I hope it'll help you to be able to maintain. I love that little phrase where it says of Job, and God said it of Job, that he maintained his integrity. Now, whatever God has me to face in life, one of my prayers is, God, help me to maintain my integrity. I don't want to charge God foolishly. Excuse me, watch this, people. Listen, I don't want to have an immature 2 or 3 year old reaction to every hurt in life. And so I know that there are genuine hurts in life. I know that hard things come. And I want to give you some things that I hope will help you. You see, folks, watch this. The name of the message is kind of a play on words. When a kid gets hurt, what they basically want from you as a parent is for you to stop the hurt from hurting. They just want the hurt to go away. I want you to think different about that title. Instead of thinking how to stop the hurt from hurting you, I want you to think this way. How to stop the hurt that I'm going through from hurting someone else. Are you with me? Are you thinking now? That's hard for us selfish people to stop and think about. Well, wait a minute, I'm the one being hurt. So the whole focus of the world ought to be on me. Well, I'm going to teach you some things about that. Because sometimes we react improperly to a hurt that we have to go through in life. And you know what we do? We allow that hurt to cause a lot more hurt in other people's lives than it really ought to. Now stay with me, all right? And I think I'll help you this morning. Now, let me give you 5 introductory statements, and all of our people know that's my way of preaching 2 messages, all right? So 5 introductory statements. Here we are. This is a fast sermon, though, so you'll be all right? Number 1, watch this. Let me just establish this. All hurt is committed by Satan. All hurt is committed by Satan. Now, even in this story, the discussion that's going on in this story, you know what? Satan comes, And he says to God, he says in verse number 10, hast thou not made an hedge about him, about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. Now notice what the devil says, tempting the Lord. Yeah, the devil will even tempt the Lord. He tempt Jesus. He said this. This is the devil still talking. Verse 11. Put forth, what's the next two words? Thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thy name. You see, watch this, folks. I want you to understand something. You need to establish this. Okay? If there's a hurt that's coming to your life, it's not God that's doing it. It's the devil that's doing it. Okay? Now, that's just a fact. You know what? The Lord cannot be involved in evil. He doesn't commit evil. Evil doesn't come from him. If you're getting hurt or a hurt has come into your life, you need to learn who to get mad at. All right, that's crazy to me that Christians, as soon as they're hurt, more times than not, make a fatal error, a fatal mistake. And the first thing they want to do is get mad at God. Folks, God did not touch Job. The devil touched Job. So number one, all hurt is committed by Satan. Number two, now listen to me because I'm going to be very accurate and very fair with this. Number two, all hurt is allowed by God. Well, wait a minute, preacher. You said not to get mad at God. You stay with me. All hurt is committed by Satan, but all hurt is allowed by God. Now, by the way, that'll be encouraging to you. As a Christian, guess what? I'm in the protection of my Father. My Father watches over me. And you know what? If it were not for the hedge that's been built around each and every one of us, the devil would be tearing our lives to shreds. And if he does want to do something to me, guess what? He's got to go up to the throne of God and get a permission slip signed to bring anything and to allow anything into my life. Now, watch this, because I want you to stay with me. All hurt is committed by Satan, but all hurt is allowed by God. See, preacher, then I can be mad at God. Now, you stay with me. Watch this. Number three, Satan's goal is for the hurt to cause more hurt. You know why Satan wants the permission slip to bring hurt into your life? Not because he just wants to bring hurt to you, but he wants the hurt that he brings to you to hurt a bunch of other people. Now watch this, number four. God's goal is for the hurt to become a help. Stay with me. You say, well, wait a minute. I can be mad at God then, because even if God didn't do the hurt, he allowed the hurt. But yes, he allowed the hurt because there's a reason, and he wants there to be help that comes from the hurt. But the devil wants more hurt to come from the hurt. Now, look, you say, preacher, prove this, all right? I just did. I read Job. How many of you would be honest enough? You've been saved enough. You are familiar with the Bible enough. You've read the book of Job before. You've gone through tough times. How many of you can say, either by personal reading or by some sermon from the book of Job, I have at times been helped in my life through that story? Would you raise your hand? I think I'm going to raise both my hands. Amen. Now, you know what? Guess what? God, you said, preacher, why would God allow that to happen to a man like Job? And I don't, I'll be honest with you, I'm not saying we won't get to heaven and find out that somebody in the history of mankind went through more things in a short amount of period than this guy did. I think that what God allowed was unprecedented. And by the way, you're not going through more than Job did this morning. You're not. I'm not going through more than Job gone through this morning. And yet, God allowed it. Why? Because he wanted a book to be contained in the Bible about a story of a man who was going to be asked to go more through more in just a day that of hard things than I will in a lifetime. And yet maintained his integrity. Now see, the devil come to God and said, I want to hurt your children, one of your children. And God said, go ahead. And I think the devil's a little surprised, but he's excited. And you know, watch this. You know that God even is in control of the devil and uses the devil for his own devices at times? And so here comes the devil who, every time he gets a chance to hurt, he can't help himself. So he goes and does it, but he can only do it within the parameters, the limitations that God put on it. First time he got permission just to touch what he owned. Second time he got permission to touch his body, but he was not allowed to take his life. And you know what? He could not go past what God said. And you know what, folks? No matter what I go through in life, you know what? The devil had to get a permission slip. And you know what? God knows what I can take and what I can't take. And He'll never allow more to be put on me than I can take. God ultimately is control. You say, but preacher, I don't get that. Why would God allow hurt to come into the life of one of His children? Watch this. Because He wants that hurt to be a help to others. Well, I'm going to give you something right here. If you'll just get it. He wants that hurt to be a help to others. So God's got a goal. He says, I'm going to allow you a permission to do certain things to one of my children. But I'm going to allow that in hopes that my child will understand that I love him. And that there's a purpose in everything I do. And this hurt that I'm allowing into his life is a great opportunity for him to be an encouragement, an example to other people on how to handle the hurts of life, and that God is able, and that God can take care of you, and don't quit on God. And everybody in here this morning that is going through anything in life has that same opportunity if you're a child of God. Now here's what the devil wants. The devil wants to bring that hurt into the life of a child of God, and then wants to convince him, take this hurt and turn it into more hurt. While the Lord in heaven is encouraging us, take this hurt that I'm allowing and use it as an opportunity to help many, many, many people. Now, folks, there wasn't too many hands that weren't raised a few minutes ago, and that's just in this congregation. Can you imagine through the eons of time how many people have been helped because of the story of Job? Wait a minute, preacher. The hurt that I'm going through is not going to be written in a book in the Bible and help thousands and thousands and thousands of people. No, but it might help dozens. And it might help your church family. And it might help your children and your grandchildren one of these days. And it might give you an opportunity to help somebody else that's going through something later on. And ministry opportunity the rest of your life. Hey, listen, watch this. Let me give you number 5. When I am hurt, I must decide if I'm going to help Satan achieve his goal or God to achieve his goal. Now, boy, I want to give you something here, okay? Boy, I want Christians to start getting victory. I want you to understand that everything that is allowed by God in life gives you a great opportunity to partner with God to help a lot of people. Or you can partner with the devil and cause your hurt to cause even more hurt than God intended it to do because we don't react to it properly. There's so many things I want to give you. Just stay with me here, all right? How to stop the hurt from hurting me, no, from hurting somebody else. Watch this. Number 1, understand the hurt. Understand hurt. Now, this is the real outline, okay? Now, number 1, understand the hurt. Let me just kind of help all of you. You just got to learn. Young people, learn it early. Hurt is a part of life. Job 5:7, you know what Job says? Yet man is born into trouble as sparks fly upward. You know what Job said in Job 14:1? Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Wow, that doesn't sound like, well, it's honest. Guess what? Everybody's going to have hurts. I mean, there's going to be problems. I mean, there's going to be sorrow. Stay with me. Watch. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be, I can't believe this is happening to me. There's going to be trips to the hospital. There's going to be surgeries. There's going to be trips to the funeral home. There's going to be disappointment. There's going to be heartburn. Do you understand, folks? Hurt is a part of life. Now, watch this. You say, preacher, why? Why? Because of sin? I mean, we had paradise, folks. We kind of threw that away. Okay, sin always produces sorrow. Righteousness produces blessing. Sin produces sorrow. And you know what? It may not be your sin that's producing your sorrow, but somebody's sin is producing the sorrow. Hurt's a part of life. It will be until we leave this earth and we get our glorified bodies and we go to a place called heaven. We preached about last Sunday morning where there's no more pain and there's no more heartache and there's no more tears. That's coming, but it's not now. Okay? Satan's purpose was to stop Job's service and to destroy his good testimony. Listen, Job was doing good with his life. Job had a good testimony with the life. Let me hurt him. And you know what? I'll take the good he is doing and I'll hurt him and then I'll convince him to take the hurt he's feeling and reach out and hurt everybody around him. And you know what the Lord said? He said, go ahead. But you know what? The Lord had a different plan.
The Lord sitting there without explaining it to the devil said, I'm going to let you do this, but I'm going to do the exact opposite of what you're wanting to do. I'm going to let you touch his life, but I'm going to also come alongside him and help him and give him the ability to do this right and to maintain his integrity and to maintain a good testimony. And then I'm going to make sure that this story is written down and it helps hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people through all of time. Are you with me here? Understand the hurt. Now, what does that mean? That means, you know what, folks? Why are you surprised when we're asked to go through difficult things? You know, from time to time I hear people say, well, I don't understand why this happened to me. And I'm like, well, who did you want it to happen to? No, if you don't want it to happen to you, then give me a name. Well, what do you mean you don't know me? What, your life's never supposed to have a bump? Your life's supposed to be perfect? I mean, there's no sin in your life, so there should be no consequences of sin. What are we talking about here? It's like we want a perfect, flawless life where all we do is sit there and receive blessings. And yet the honest truth is God's more merciful and more gracious to any of us than we really deserve. Now stop acting like that your life is supposed to be problem-free. Stop acting like it's an offense to you that God might ask you to actually go through something hard. Good night, folks. Understand the hurt. It's part of life. Be careful not to develop a nobody understands, nobody's ever gone through this attitude. Well, nobody understands, nobody does. There's nobody. Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Listen, folks, what we need to do first of all is understand the hurt. Guess what? You know, Jerry Ross isn't going to get a pass in this thing. And you know what? God's, for the most part, been very good to me. I mean, good night, folks. I've had many more good days than bad days. I've had thousands more blessings than hurts. I mean, you know what? I've had a lot more victories than disappointments. So why in the world, if I'm asked to go through something, why in the world should I act like I'm offended at God for that? Hurt is just a part of life. Number one, understand the hurt. Number two, refuse to blame God for the hurt. Refuse to blame God for the hurt. Now, folks, this is something you just got to settle in your life. You know what? I have taught our church this thing. And I told the folks when I taught it to you the first time that this didn't come from me, but I like it. I went to an old-fashioned teen camp meeting down in Kentucky one time. There was a preacher, and he got up and he looked at the young people, and he'd been there before, and I think he must have trained them before, but he said, God is good, and all of the young people said, all the time. All right, so he said, God is good. And then he said, all the time. Now, come on, let's just settle that. Let's just nail it down. Okay, the phone could ring this afternoon. And me and my wife's lives could be turned absolutely upside down. And I'm not saying it's not going to hurt. But I'm going to tell you this, God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. God is good. All the time. Are you listening to me? Settle that. Settle that. Listen, I think one of the saddest things in the world is when we experience hurt, the first thing that we allow the devil to do is to trick us and getting mad at the wrong person. Okay? Listen, God is good all the time. But preacher, you said God didn't cause the hurt, but he allowed the hurt. Let me say this. Yes, I did say that, and I also said this. Satan caused the hurt. God allowed the hurt. Satan wants the hurt to produce more hurt. God wants the hurt to produce good. You have to decide if you're going to help the devil produce more hurt from the hurt, or if you're going to help God produce good from the hurt. There you go. That's what it's all about. Now, once you get that, and you know what? I'm not saying it's going to hurt you less. But when you have an understanding of it, and you do not allow the devil to drive a wedge between you and the one you need more than anybody in the world when you're going through hurt, then all of a sudden, I promise you, at that moment, you're already on the victory side. You may not feel like you are, but you're already on the victory side. So one of the first things that happens, something comes into our life, I mean, just devastating. Come on, we've all had it. And I mean, you know what? I am not, God, please don't let me do that. I do not want to charge God foolishly in that moment. I want to maintain my integrity. I don't want to be so childish or foolish or immature as to jump on the devil's side and get mad at God about it. Okay? So, number one, understand the hurt. Number two, refuse to blame God for the hurt. I mean, refuse to do it. Don't allow yourself to do that. Number three, direct retaliation at the hurter. Okay, so, but preacher, I'm mad. I got to do something with this anger. I'm mad! Okay, then get mad at the right person. Alright? You know what? The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at people. Don't even get mad at yourself. Get mad at the devil. Get mad at him. You see, listen, I believe in something. You say, preacher, I don't know about this retaliation thing. Oh, me and the devil, let me just announce that I do it every once in a while. We're sworn enemies. I thought you were supposed to love everybody. I don't love the devil. I don't love him. We have no common ground. Okay? Devil and me, we both agree. The devil and me, we both agree. The devil and me, we both agree. I hate him and he hates me. All right, we teach that to the... You know what? There's no common ground. He's my sworn enemy. I'm his sworn enemy, brother. I mean, you know what? I can get along with most everybody on the planet. If some person does me ill, I'm not going to harbor. But I'm going to tell you something. Me and the devil are sworn enemies. He's all about destroying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all about propagating the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm all for glorifying God, and he's all for blasphemy. I mean, we have no common ground. Now watch this, folks. Listen to me. You say, preacher, you get mad? Yeah, I get mad. Get mad at God? I'm not going to get mad at the circumstances. I'm not even getting mad at the people involved, but I'm going to get mad at the devil. And by the way, folks, when I get mad, I start figuring out how to get even. And by the way, so do you. Problem is, you're misdirecting that. Come on now. Well, I'm going to get even with God. You say, I don't feel... Oh, yeah? How come? Listen, come on. I didn't fall off the turnip truck. I drove it in the driveway this morning. I've been dealing with people a long time, all right? The typical Christian goes through hard times. And you know what happens? Watch this. I'm telling you. Listen to me. They get mad at God, whether they'll admit it or not, and they say, I'm going to get even with God. And you know how they get even with God? I'm not going to church. I'll show him. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to teach my Sunday school class that way, God. I'll just get even with him there. That'll show him. We may not ever say that, but that's what we do. Now listen, folks, you're getting mad at the wrong person, and you're retaliating against the wrong person. You say, is it wrong to get mad? I'm just going to tell you this. I can take you to the gospel. Well, every once in a while, I'd like, before people start telling me about how Jesus was and what would Jesus do, they might read actually the gospels about what he did do. Oh, you lost your temper. I thought you were supposed to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus never lost his temper, but he displayed his temper, and so have I at times. Come on now. Nothing wrong with getting mad about the right things. There's something. I worry about people who never get mad at things. I mean, yeah, I get mad. And when I get mad, I want to get even. So you know what? I've learned who to get mad at. I'll get mad at people. I'm not going to spend any time on revenge. I'm not. But you know what? I get mad at the devil. And you know what I say? Okay. All right. You know what? You attack, we'll counterattack. Now, this is good for us. I think that the Church of Jesus Christ sometimes needs to get our pacifist view purged out of the church house. We're in a war. See, what's this fall program? Old preachers on neat Sundays, and it's some fun for the young people. And by the way, I hope it is. But you know what else it is? It's a counterattack. It's an opportunity for me to make him pay for everything he's done to everybody at Blessed Old Baptist Church. You're going to touch God's children, then I'll go get your children. And you know what? I'm not going to hurt them. I'm going to help them. I'm going to steal them from you. Come on. Well, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. Look right up here. You don't know what I've been through. And some of you do know some of the things I've been through. I've been through hard things. My wife's been through terribly, terribly, terribly difficult things. I've seen the devil win in the lives of people that's very dear and very precious to me. Now, by the way, you can tell, but when I talk about it, it hurts. But you know what? I'm not going to let that hurt you. It's about time we start growing up a little bit. We get hurt, you know what we want? We want everybody around us to hurt too. When a mature Christian gets hurt, you know what they do? They don't want anybody around them hurt. And you know what? I got on my knees about 9 years ago and said to the Lord, okay, the devil touched one of mine. I'm going to go get some of his. And by the way, I have. He's lost about 1,000 since then. Are you listening to me? I said he's lost about 1,000 since then. Me and God's winning. Just about to hit 100, either saved through personal soul winning or public preaching this year. Saw over that last year, over that the year before, over that. Say, what's the driving force? Your love for Jesus? Amen. It ought to be on the top of the list. Also, hatred for the devil. It's right there too. See, preacher, I don't think that's very pure. It works. How you doing? No, seriously, get mad at the right person. Are you listening to me? Get right. I'm flat telling you. You know what? Some of you are taking out on people what you ought to be taking out on the devil. You are feeling ill towards God when you ought to be feeling ill. You need God more than you ever needed God. It's not time to turn your back on God. Man, go punch the devil in the nose. Go get on a bus. Hey, it's not time to quit the bus route. Go get back on that bus route. It's not time to surrender to the devil and join him. It's time to fight him. This is good for us. Amen. Are you with me? So number one, understand the hurt. Guess what? It's part of life. I'm no exception. This is just my time. It's going to be somebody else's time later. Number two, refuse to blame God for the hurt. Number three, direct retaliation at the hurt. And number four, care for others who are also hurt by your hurt. Let me show you something here in Job chapter 2. We stopped at verse number 8. Somebody else got hurt here. Somebody else got hurt. Look at verse 9 and 10. It all talks about everything Job was going through, but somebody else is getting hurt. Verse 9, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. By the way, let me just look up here and let me help you with something, okay? Be careful that you don't judge people too quickly, too harshly. Some people read that and they think about this wicked woman or this bad woman. Good night. She just lost 10 children. Are you listening to me? Brother Gerald finally preached. He told me the title of his message last Sunday morning. I'm going to get online and listen to it. But he preached a message entitled, Don't Judge Me on My Worst Day. I don't know what the sermon was about, but could I just say, don't judge me on my worst day and I won't judge you on your worst day. Let's not judge Job's wife on her worst day. Man, what's wrong with her? I'll tell you what's wrong with her. She's a weaker vessel. Can I say this? Watch this. And I know Job rebuked her. I get it. But I would have much rather Job get up and help her. See, what happens, folks, is we're hurting sometimes so much. And come on now. We do tend to be selfish, and we think about ourselves first more than we think about others. Come on, most of us do. And while I'm hurting, if I'm not careful, that I can forget that I may be getting the brunt of this. But that doesn't mean it's not spilling around hurting other people. Now, I'm going to give you a great little survival lesson. When I get hurt, you know, and I understand this isn't going to happen right away. I understand you might need 24 hours. You may need 48 hours. I get it. But when something hurts me, I mean, hurts me deeply, my saving grace, my salvation is that soon after, after I take the initial hit, soon afterwards, I stop and I think to myself, who else could this be hurting? How do I illustrate this? I'm going to illustrate it this way, okay? All right, I fly on a plane two or three times a year, probably two or three times a year average for the last 10 years. I don't fly a lot. I fly enough to hate it. I don't like it. I don't like flying. I think all the CEOs of every major airline got in a room 10 years ago and said, how can we remove anything that's pleasurable about flying? And they came up with a way to do it, and they all, and that, I mean, it's, I know if you haven't done it, it sounds exciting. If you do it even more than a couple times, you're like, what in the world? What they're making you go through now. Now, watch this. When I get on a plane, I sit down, and they waited for everybody to be seated. When everybody gets seated, the stewardess, or stewardess, I don't know what they call the guy stewardesses, but usually they just bother me. But the stewardesses, they've got to go through the safety thing. Now, after you've been on it two or three times, I'm reading, I'm studying, I usually don't pay attention. But if this is your first time flying, you're like, because you want to know what's going to happen in case, what to do if something happens. Let me tell you what you're going to do. Something happens at 32,000 feet. You're going to go see Jesus. All right? That's what you're going to go do. But go ahead and watch, because at least you'll be in the right position. All right, when you see Jesus. Now, they always have a seatbelt. I love that. It's two pieces of a seatbelt, and they'll show you how to snap it and how to release it. We're like, if you're that stupid, you shouldn't be allowed to buy an airplane ticket if you don't know how to do that. Then they'll have this little mask on a tube, and they'll say, in the event of an emergency, an oxygen mask will drop in front of you, and then they'll drop it like this, and it hangs there. And then they'll take it and they'll show you how to put the mask on, which it has a rubber band and a mask. Again, not rocket science, all right? And then they'll always say, watch this, by the way, it's two different flights. I mean, most of the times I've flown, it hasn't been batted on. A little turbulence here and there, maybe a little bit of a rocky landing. There was two flights that I honestly thought I was going to die. And I'm not a panicky guy, but honestly, one time I flew from somewhere, I don't know where I was, to Midway Airport, and they put me on a 32-seater plane from Midway Airport just to get to Indy. And they flew off trying to beat and get around the storm, and guess what? They didn't beat it, and they didn't get around it. And those planes don't go as high. They couldn't get above it. It wasn't very far. Brother Joe, you've been on a few of these, I'm sure. I mean, but it was in a small 32-passenger plane. And I mean literally two rows on either side. You're in a little cylinder. I mean, if you ever stop and think about what you're in, you would never get... You're in a metal cylinder with wings. 32,000 feet in the air. That's idiotic. So, I get it. We take off. And as soon as we take off, I thought to myself, this is... I mean, we went probably 10 minutes. We just got leveled off. And I thought, we're in trouble. And this plane from Chicago till it landed is pitching, and I mean dropping, where you hit those air pockets where all of a sudden you just drop, and I mean, I'm not kidding, I counted them. Of the 32 people on that plane, 16 of them had puke bags out, exactly half, vomiting. Now you add that smell into the... And for, I don't know, how long a flight would that be? I mean, that's not very long. 30 minutes? Maybe not even that. Probably 30-minute jump from Midway to here. For 30 minutes, we are on this roller coaster ride. And I mean, the plane's going like this, and it's dropping, and people are puking. And I'm just sitting there going, I am sure glad I kissed my wife before I left. I'm never going to see that woman again. I mean, it was bad. It was horrible. And then there was the flight where I went up on a Saturday. I was supposed to preach in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania on Sunday. This was when Dad was the pastor, I was the assistant pastor. So I drove up and got the latest flight. We had a ton to do that week. I got the latest flight I could Saturday night. When we got up there, there was a horrible ice storm, snowstorm, storms everywhere up and down the East Coast. And I got there and they said, we're not going to be able to fly out. We're going to have to wait till morning. And I thought, I'm going to be stuck here in the airport. And I'm waiting. It's the last flight. And they said, I'll tell you what, we'll try to take off at 11 o'clock, so go get something to eat. So I went and found a place to plug in my laptop and we were working, and all of a sudden a stewardess comes around. And there wasn't but about, honestly, this big, gigantic, full-size plane, and there's like seven of us trying to fly this late. I've never seen a plane that empty in my life. trying to fly from Indy to Philadelphia late at night on a Saturday night. Here comes a stewardess running up and down, and she's hollering in the terminal. She's like, come on, we're going to go. And I was like, well, you just told me 30 minutes ago we had 2 hours. No, we're taking off now. We got a window. They found a window. Well, they should have checked. That window wasn't open. All right, there may have been a window there. We took off, and the flight really wasn't bad until we got over onto the East Coast. But that last hour and a half, Brother Joe, that one coming from Midway, that was nothing. This thing was in a full-sized plane, and that guy fought the whole time just trying to keep the... And I mean, we are jerking like this. And I mean, we do this for an hour. And we're descending down, I think. I think I feel we're, you know, you kind of fly enough, you know when you're going down. And you can't see anything. We're going through the clouds. I mean, there's fog, there's storm, everything. And we literally break out. I mean, when we're going down, you can't tell looking out that window. All you see is clouds, and you can't see where you're at, and you're jerking like this. And I mean, you're so disoriented. And I'm just praying. I am praying. And we're dropping down doing this number. And we finally break from the clouds and literally probably, I don't know, because I don't know exact distance, but probably maybe 1,200 feet, 1,000 feet. We break out of the clouds just enough to see the runway and boom, land on it. And oh my goodness. Now, what they'll say is this. Here comes the thing down. Now watch this, folks. They say, take the oxygen mask. This is what they'll tell you. Take the oxygen mask and put it on yourself first. Isn't that what they say? If you have a child or somebody else that needs assistance, do not put it on them first. Well, they need help. Put it on you first so that you will be conscious to help the one who needs help. And what I'm saying is this. All right, I get it, man. You get a cannonball to the gut. I had no problem. You know what? Let's not judge Job's wife. And let's not judge each other when we have to go through the crucibles of life. I mean, you know what? She said some crazy things right there. And I'm sure in a few days she regretted it. And you know what? I might say some crazy things. And you might say some crazy things. You know what, folks? Listen to me. You just got to understand, people are in survival mode. And when you're going through that, well, I wouldn't do that. You don't know until you're there what you would or wouldn't do. So let's just show some mercy and grace. But after you take the initial hit, all right, you with me? And you get your oxygen mask on, why don't you look around for somebody else that's sitting there gasping for breath that needs oxygen? Listen, moms, this isn't just affecting you, whatever you're going through, it's affecting your children. Dads, this isn't just affecting you, it's affecting your wife. Watch this, church members, it's not just affecting your family, whether you know it or not, it's affecting your church. Well, that's their problem. Well, that's a sorry way to live your life. Okay? Get rid of this, it's all about me mentality. Okay? You ever had two little kids come to you and they walk up and one of them wants to show you a boo-boo? So the other one's got to find one. And then they show you a boo-boo and then the other one's like offended. So they look and say, well, and then they got to show you a bigger boo-boo. And then this story and that story. I've dealt with church members like that. No matter what somebody's going through in life, they've got to find something that's more tragic that they've either gone through or are going through. Stop it. Stop it. Now, here's your saving grace. You know what? Care for the others that are hurt by your hurt. Listen, folks, most people, when they're bad, aren't bad, they're broken. Where does healing come, preacher? Don't I ever get any help? Yes! You do get help. You know how you get help? You get help by helping somebody else. Preacher, I've been deeply hurt by something that happened in my life. Let me ask you, who else was hurt? Could you take a little bit of time to focus on them? I mean, put your oxygen mask on, but then assist those around you who need help. Number five, determine not to allow your hurt to hurt others. Determine not to allow your hurt to hurt others. Okay. I've gone through hurts in life. I mean, devastating. I mean, oh my goodness, I'm not going to live through this day, hurts in life. I do not want that to hurt my church. I don't want that to hurt my kids. I don't want that to hurt my wife. Okay? So what I'm going to work very hard at is to see that it doesn't do that. And that keeps me busy. Oh, watch this. Let me tell you how you hurt your church. Well, I'm not going soul winning then. I am. By the way, I'm not preaching what I haven't done. I didn't vacate this pulpit. I did my duty. I didn't stop going soul winning. I didn't quit visiting people that were in hospitals, visiting people that were shut-ins, and visiting people in nursing homes. Here's the thing. Watch this. Brother Dave, you get hurt with something. I mean, and man, is life stinking unfair sometimes? Come on. It is. So you get hurt. So I'm not going to go soul winning. Okay. Then that person you were going to win to the Lord this week is going to hell. Because the devil wanted you to be hurt and then used that hurt to hurt that lost person. So you joined in the devil and let him do what he wanted to do with that hurt. Okay, well, I'm quitting my Sunday school class, all right? But there's children that needed help. And now you have not just allowed the devil to hurt you, now you're letting that hurt hurt them. Well, I'm just going to quit church. You just hurt the church. You hurt the assembly. By the way, you hurt all these young people up here because you know what you told them with your example? If you have to go through something hard, then that means you have a right to quit church. That's what you just did. Brother Jeff, I hurt. I get it. And it's hard. I get it. But I am not going to let that hurt this little girl right here. I'm not going to let it hurt these kids. I'm not going to let it hurt this young lady. I'm not doing that. Okay, devil, you were allowed to hurt me, but you are not going to take that hurt and make it spill over and hurt other people. Matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through this with God, and I'm going to get victory over it with God, and then I'm going to take what I learned, and I'm going to help somebody. Let me show you something. And man, there's so many illustrations right here. I'll just show you one. I reread this the other day. We gave away, I don't know how many thousands of these. Jonathan Kephart. That's a picture of him right there. Young man. Grew up in a Christian home. Went to a Christian school. Joined the armed forces. Went to Iraq. Tragically killed. Tragically killed. Good kid. Wasn't running from God. Loved the Lord. Served God. Served his country. Went to Iraq. Christian home. Christian mom. Christian dad. Died for his country. Mom and dad gets a phone call. Can you imagine? Come on, parents. Imagine that phone call. Imagine, you don't think mama was on her knees every night? God, please take care of my son over there. You don't think daddy was on his knees every night? God, take care of my son over there. Get that phone call. Now you got a Christian mom and a Christian dad, and they just got the cannonball of the gun. And by the way, I don't know how they did the first few days, and you know what? It doesn't matter to me how they did the first few days. They did good, bad, or whatever. I mean, good night. We're all human. But you know what they had to do at some point? They had to say, okay, for whatever reason, the devil did this, but God allowed it. The devil hurt us, and he wants this hurt to hurt a bunch of other people. But why don't we take this hurt, and why don't we help a bunch of people? And this little story about their son losing his life in Iraq contains in it one of the clearest presentations of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this, folks. I met this dear man and his wife, two of the sweetest Christian people, victory side, loving God, still serving God in their local assembly, walking with a smile on their face. You know what they said? They said, okay, all right. The devil did it, but God allowed it. The devil wants this hurt to hurt a bunch of other people. We're going to take this hurt and we're going to find a way to help a bunch of other people. And I asked Brother Kephart, I said, do you have any idea how many people have been saved by reading your son's story? And he said, preacher, I don't know the exact number, but I can tell you hundreds have been saved. Are you with me this morning? By the way, look right up here. I don't want you to think I'm without compassion. I want you to know that if you're hurting, I get it. And you know what? Even if you haven't handled it exactly right all the time, I get it. I haven't always either. But at some point, you know what you got to do? You got to say, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'll return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what you got to say. That's what you got to do. And that's how you keep the hurt from hurting. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been helped by this story. But Job, when he was in the middle of it, had no idea of the thousands of people and the several hundred people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church millenniums later that would be helped by how he reacted to the hurts of life. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to just gain something, Lord, that would allow us to have a correct perspective on life, a little bit of an understanding about your work and your workings in our life. And Lord, everything that the devil does that he wants to produce bad out of, with God's help, we can turn that thing around and produce some good. So I pray, Lord, that you would please use this message to bring strength and to give wisdom to your children. We pray in Jesus' name.